Amidst all of the news about tariffs, some other quite important news has slipped through the net a little bit. Just the other week, Klarna, the buy now, pay later service, announced a collaboration with DoorDash, the food delivery service, which means that you can now take a bank loan out for a pizza. That is not a sign of economic collapse. I do not know what is. Putting aside the jokes about, you know, investing the family farm in burrito bonds, I think that this partnership signals a much bigger story with more long-term implications, and we might be facing the end of the American consumer engine that has kept the economy alive for so long. Usually when we talk about the economy, it can be easy to forget what actually keeps the economy going. In most wealthy countries, the economy is actually largely driven by consumer spending, people buying products, services, and assets. Way more than it's driven by, say, government spending or business investment. In the US, almost 70% of GDP is made up of consumer spending. It's like the engine that keeps the economy going, and it's the engine that's gotten the economy out of tough times. Unfortunately, US consumers might be maxed out this time round. If we look at like prior crises, such as like the 2008 financial crisis, often the conversation revolves around like bailouts and bailing out the banks to save the economy. But a significant part of the recovery was also just putting money in people's pockets, because the average person spends money once they have it. Hundreds of billions of dollars of rebates and direct payments to households were implemented after the 2008 crisis and helped the recovery in some part. However, today, as recession odds are increasing, it seems increasingly unlikely that consumers are going to open up their wallets when they're needed. And there are clues in a few different directions that this is the case. Despite the fact that even here, we talk quite often about the cost of living and all of the pressures that have faced Americans, average US spending has actually steadily increased over the last year, and not just on essentials. American consumers have been spending significantly more than European ones and global consumers. And that has been a like significant part in the outperformance of the US economy over the last few years relative to even, say, the European one. They've kind of had a generational run of being able to buy cheap stuff. You can't get healthcare, but you can get a pretty cheap iPad compared to England. And this generational run of being able to get cheap stuff is obviously threatened by tariffs. But importantly, this run has been fueled by higher earnings and by the number one loophole in America, debt. The US household debt, this is just household debt, not the national debt, is over $18 trillion across the country. Sooner or later, you have to pay this back. And there are some early signals that we're getting close to breaking point. Because the other part of taking on so much debt that has put Americans in an increasingly precarious position is the fact that the more debt they take on, the less money they save. Anxious Europeans have been hoarding savings for the last few years. Americans are saving less than they were before the pandemic, and we're finally starting to see that people might be at their limit, because US consumer spending just a couple of months ago posted the first drop in 2 years, which is the first signal that people are hitting the point of no return, where they can't necessarily be convinced to spend more money to prop the economy up. And yet, in this scenario, one of the best performing sets of companies has been buy now, pay later companies, like Klarna and Afterpay. And in fact, Klarna was about to go public until tariff mania. So you might wonder why buy now, pay later services have been doing so well, when actually credit card companies have reported lower growth and have reported that people are less and less willing to take on additional debt. A big part of the reason why these buy now, pay later companies have been doing so well is to do with the marketing, of course. So first of all, they don't present themselves as you taking on more debt. They present themselves as a, you know, friendly repayment plan. But arguably, I think a bigger factor might be basically all of the rules that they're not subject to, because they're not banks and they're not covered by the current regulation, which is designed purely for credit card companies and other traditional loans. So even if you have really bad credit, you can take on a buy now, pay later loan, and consumers continue to shift spending to buy now, pay later as opposed to credit cards. The CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, released earlier this year one of the first like comprehensive reports on the structure of buy now, pay later and the type of people who actually use them. And borrowers with subprime or deep subprime credit scores make up the majority of new customers for buy now, pay later. The people who use buy now, pay later are those with high personal debt. It's an example of, you know, what's been called like phantom debt. So debt that doesn't show up when studies are run to measure how much debt the country's in, to measure how solvent people's households are. Buy now, pay later just skirts all the rules and doesn't actually count as a loan. Yeah, poorly regulated debt given to subprime customers. What could possibly go wrong? That's the thing, right? This debt is like, it's not advertised honestly, and it's presented in a way that makes you think that you're benefiting. And it's worth mentioning, actually. I know some of you think you're like built different and you're like, oh, well, I pay my Klarna bills on time every week or every month. But the reason why businesses partner with these companies is because it leads customers to actually spend more, even customers who repay back their loan. Buy now, pay later services make people believe that the product is cheaper. And I think it works out at about 9% extra on average people spend on websites that have buy now, pay later options. It's literally designed to get you to spend more, which benefits the retailer and the buy now, pay later service, which takes a percentage fee. Or it's designed for subprime customers to ultimately not be able to repay and have to pay sky high interest rates. The CFPB was in the process of trying to push forward regulation to force stricter reporting from these companies. Unfortunately, they've been told to stop all enforcement activities, and yeah, they're kind of dead in the water now. But it's not just buy now, pay later debt that's a problem, right? For several years now, US federal student loan payments were completely paused, and that prevented people from defaulting and having impact on their credit score. And since repayments is resumed back in October, now 1 in 5 of the 43 million people with student loan debt is past due and heading towards default. Credit card delinquency rates are at like decade highs, and something like 15% of people expect to miss some kind of debt payment in the US in the next 3 months, which is like great recession level numbers. However, the threat to consumerism isn't just low-income consumers, because people on low incomes have been feeling the squeeze for years and are slowly contributing less and less to the overall economy. And instead, it's the top 10% of earners who are driving the growth in consumer spending more than anyone else. And so they're more necessary to keep the economy growing, which actually presents a whole host of separate problems, because the top 10 or 20% spend money on very different things to what the population as a whole spends money on. But the main thing to consider is that even higher earners are not immune from this like rising amount of debt. And the percentage of higher earners who are 2 to 3 months behind on loan payments has been steadily ticking up along with the lower earners. What's especially notable is that these people are a lot more sensitive to the performance of the stock market. You'll often hear that like the stock market and the economy are two different things, but as high earners make up more of consumer spending, the stock market and the economy become more and more tightly linked. You can ask yourself if this whole system is even a good way to run things, but a different question. Obviously, the stock market has not been doing the best lately. And as the whole tariff situation is sort of destroying the stock market, we can expect those people to pull back. And we can end up in a situation where American consumerism just doesn't do what it used to do, which is get people to buy stuff that they probably don't really need. You could say the vibes are off. Expectation for inflation hit a 32-year high, and this was just before the tariffs actually got announced. The American consumer doesn't just spend because they have money. They also spend because they think they're going to have more money in the future. I think this quote about this consumer sentiment phenomenon is quite telling, right? It says, expectations of future business conditions, the labor market, and income prospects fell the hardest, from 75 in February to 65 in March, the lowest aggregate expectation readings since March 2013. This suggests broad pessimism about US growth, inspired by concerns over tariffs. Rosenberg Research notes that the household views on the future are more downbeat now than at the depths of the 2020 pandemic recession. People's propensity to spend is based on the future as well as the present. The vibes are extremely, extremely off. And when we talk about the vibes, you know, we talk about consumer sentiment and stuff like this. This whole idea can be summarized as soft data. So data around how people feel and what people think the world is going to look like. And the soft data was pretty bad for a while. However, people thought that it was just talk, like this guy, right? Said pure consumer sentiment is still just talk, and it may never turn into action. Unfortunately, the massive crashes in the stock market that we're seeing seem to suggest that people's fears about the world are now translating into actual action, and that blindly consuming is not so much the move right now. Even if stimulus programs come back in the way that they used to be, they might not even work to get people spending again like they have in the past. The lowest earners have been facing a debt burden for years now. They have a very low savings rate and they're more concerned about the cost of living. But the debt burden has spread to even the higher earners, who are witnessing a crashing stock market and have really low consumer sentiment and business sentiment. If we go back to 2008, when stimulus checks were one method in the package of strategies to get people spending, it helped, but people had way too much debt. And so nearly half of the recipients reported using a tax rebate, mostly to pay off debt. And we're at a point where the total amount of debt that consumers have is reaching pretty unsustainable levels, and seems to imply that consumerism as a way to save your country might not be as effective of a strategy as it once was. Perhaps the most telling economic indicator isn't like GDP reports or like stimulus payments. It's the fact that companies are now at a point where they need to trick people into taking on more credit to get them to spend. They need to be deliberately opaque about what people are getting involved in. And when like basic consumption, like food, requires financial engineering and like behavioral psychology to convince people to spend money, then I don't know. It just seems like an unsustainable system, if you ask me. But I guess at the moment, we do have some good news, because one of the effects of tariffs was to pause Klarna's plan to list on the stock market. And I think anything that is bad for Klarna and Afterpay is good for the human spirit. But yeah, I think ultimately there is also a question of like, is consumerism a good thing? Could we do with less consumerism? Well, we've set up a system where we need quite a lot of it and don't have too many options.